So whenever we come to Mass, we always have at the beginning these different readings. We are to pay attention to those readings and try to see in what way God is trying to talk to us. Oftentimes these readings have themes to them. So I'd like you to take a brief moment to consider what themes you can recall from our readings today. I know as I was praying with these passages, I noticed a theme of rejoice or rejoicing. In fact, those words show up about 5 times in our first reading and in our gospel passage combined. But then there's another theme very similar, very close to that, and that is joy. And we hear about that in our responsorial psalm. But what is the source of our joy? And why is it that we should be rejoicing? If we look at our gospel passage, we see that the disciples come back. They were sent out on mission, and they come back, and they're rejoicing. And they tell the Lord, they tell Jesus why they're so happy. They say to him, "Even the demons are subject to us because of your name." And Jesus, he responds to this, first by acknowledging, yes, he did give them that power. Yes, he did give them the ability to do that. But then he also says, "Do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And so that's the greatest gift that the Lord gives us. That's the best reason for us to rejoice, that he's offering to us salvation. He's offering to us union with God the Father, himself, and the Holy Spirit forever in heaven. That's the greatest reason to be joyful, the greatest reason to rejoice. Now, the psalmist does give other reasons, the good works that God does here on earth, the tremendous deeds he does for individuals, and even for what God has done to him in particular. But Jesus gives us the best reason to rejoice, the gift of salvation. Sometimes, though, like the disciples, we can get a little caught up in the things that we do. We can get a little bit distracted. From this greatest gift, we get distracted and we think of the different things that we do here on earth. The disciples, they were doing good things. Jesus sent them out. They're casting out demons. They're healing the sick. Good things. Sometimes we get caught up in the good things that we do. Sometimes we get caught up in daily life. And we forget about this ultimate goal, this greatest gift that the Lord offers us. Sometimes we focus so much on these things that we forget even the one who gives us this ability, the source of our power. Sometimes we start to attribute the good things that we do, we attribute them to ourselves and only ourselves, to the point of excluding the Lord. We have a tendency to do that sometimes, a tendency to be prideful like that, and to forget that it's the Lord who gives us the ability to do these things. It's the Lord who strengthens us for our good works. It's important for us to recognize our dependence on the Lord, but also to recognize that what we do should flow from what we are, from who we are. So, for example, if we think of a dog, what do dogs do? They do many things, but one of the things that they do is bark. And for a dog to bark, that's normal, because that flows from what it is. It's a dog, so he barks. If, on the other hand, if I started to bark, like, that would be weird, because I'm not a dog. I'm a human being. And so what I do flows from what I am. And human beings are rational animals. There's something that separates us from all the other animals in the world, and that's our ability to be rational. That's our intellect and our will. That separates us from the rest. It allows us to do things that no other animal can do. We can think of things, we can recognize things beyond the physical. For example, 10. You might think, 10 what? Just 10. The mathematical concept of 10. We can think of that. It's related to the physical, but it's not physical in itself. It's a bit more abstract, a little bit more separated, something that is beyond the senses directly. But we can go even farther with the abstract. We can know things even more than that. We can use our reason to know that there is a God. Now, this isn't easy to do, and not every human being can come to that same conclusion. And a lot of times when we as human beings examine creation, we don't always come to that conclusion. But it is possible. In fact, a Greek philosopher, Aristotle, 300 years before the birth of Jesus, came to that conclusion using reason alone, that there must be a God. There must be a source of creation to explain creation. But to come to that conclusion is not easy by reason alone. And God knows that. And he wants us to know about him. And so he reveals himself to us. He reaches out to us, to humanity, to human beings. And we have how that all worked out recorded in sacred scripture. That God makes this special relationship with Abraham. And then through Abraham, we get to Israel. And through Israel, we get Jesus. And from Jesus, who is the Messiah, we have the followers of Jesus, the Christ, and that's us, Christians. We follow Jesus. And it's Jesus who offers us this great gift, this ultimate gift of salvation, this gift of union with the Father, himself, and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. And he won this for us. He came down to earth to interact with us, to reveal himself to us, because again, it's hard for us to figure this out on our own, so he's trying to make it easy. And then he goes through his passion, his death, and his resurrection. He offered himself up on the cross in order to reconcile us with God the Father, in order to reveal to us the great love that he has, that he loves us so much he would endure this suffering. He would give himself up to make sure that our relationship with the Father would be restored. And we, as Christians, as who we are, we follow Christ. And as part of following Christ, we are to be in relationship with Christ. We are to foster that relationship. Because what we do flows from our being, flows from what we are, flows from who we are. And so it's important for us to be who we are. It's important for us to be the Christians we are called to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he is the source of our strength. He is the source of our power. He is the source that allows us to do all the good things that we do. And he powers the saints too. St. Teresa of Calcutta, she was tempted once. Someone came to her and said, "Well, I know that you and your sisters, you have this daily holy hour. But you know, if you gave up that daily holy hour, you'd have a whole nother hour to go serve the poor. You could do more good works if you just cut off your prayer." St. Teresa of Calcutta, her response was to add a second holy hour for each day. Because she knows she needs that connection. She knows all of her sisters need that connection with Jesus Christ. That they need to be with the Lord. They need to be in relationship with the Lord. They need to spend time with the Lord. So that it's the Lord who powers them and enables them to serve the poor. And not just them doing it on their own. But to be fueled, to be powered by the love of Christ. Through that relationship with Christ. Through being with Christ. But how often is it that each one of us spend time just being with the Lord? Some of us is probably not all that often. Sometimes we pray, and we pray the great prayers that the church gives us, the Rosary, the Our Father, Hail Marys. Those are beautiful prayers. They're great prayers to help stretch our hearts, to help us to mean what we say. But sometimes, those just become recitation. They just become something to checkmark, something that we do to get over with and move on to the next thing. They become empty. And that's a tragedy. But one of the things that can help us avoid that is to just be with the Lord, to spend time with the Lord. Not saying any prescribed prayers that are given to us, but talking to the Lord in a personal way. About the joys of the day, about the struggles, about what you hope for, about your dreams for the future, about something you regret having done. Just being with the Lord in conversation. Or not even speaking to him, just recognizing that you're in his presence and allowing him to tell you whatever it is he may want to tell you. Now, those who practice this kind of personal prayer, this just being with the Lord, they have a tendency to be calmer. They have a tendency to not be worried about so many things, to have less stress, to be more relaxed. They're more likely to resist temptation, and they're more likely to follow the inspirations of God, to recognize God in their daily lives, because they're spending time just being with the Lord and recognizing and accepting that relationship, allowing that to flow, and allowing that being to influence their doing. And so that's something that all of us should do, to just simply be Christian, be in relationship with the Lord, be with him in prayer. I know I myself had a recent experience of this to illustrate what happened. In fact, it was for this very homily. So earlier in the week, I'm just spending time with the Lord in prayer, relaxing, trusting that he's going to give me something to say. And one day goes by, and another day goes by, and another day goes by, and I start to get a little anxious. It's like, Lord, I still got nothing. Gonna have to give me something. And as it gets near the end of the week, it's like, okay, I haven't gotten anything in prayer, so I'm just gonna have to pick something and go with it. And I get really anxious, and so I just kind of very quickly write the homily, and I'm done with the anxiety. I set things aside, and I can just be with the Lord again. And then as I'm just sitting there with the Lord in his presence, in prayer, I'm able to recognize an inspiration. And the Lord's telling me, rewrite the second half of your homily. I'm just like, really? Like, you couldn't have told me this sooner? But I got anxious, and so I wasn't listening. I got too caught up in the doing, and I wasn't paying attention. And so, he couldn't have told me that sooner because I wasn't listening. He was trying to help me grow in patience and in other ways as well. And so it's important for us to trust the Lord. It's important for us to spend time just being with the Lord. And so my challenge for you this week is to spend 10 minutes each day in prayer. The first 5 minutes of those prayers to just be with the Lord, have a conversation with the Lord, or simply just recognize you're in his presence and allow that reality of that to sink in. The reality of that relationship, the reality of his presence, to just sink in, just be with the Lord, 5 minutes each day. And then the other 5 minutes for the full 10, to just think of the many blessings God has given you. Just like the psalmist, who recognizes the good deeds of God and the joy that it brings, we too in our lives should recognize all the different ways that we've been blessed, all the good things going on in our life. And if we do that every day, we would foster and develop this attitude of gratitude, and it'll transform our lives. We won't be complaining nearly as much. We won't be as concerned as much. We'll be able to love more people more easily because we're allowing ourselves to be filled with the love of God, by recognizing his love for us in the blessings he gives us. So my challenge again, 10 minutes a day this week, first 5 just being with the Lord, second 5 in gratitude. In fact, I know sometimes that can be a hard thing to do, so we're going to practice that here at Mass. Immediately after my homily, we're just going to have 1 minute of complete silence. Don't worry, I'll time it. It'll just be 1 minute. 1 minute of complete silence for you to just be with the Lord, either recognizing his presence or having a personal conversation with him. That way, practicing with this minute, you'll be better prepared for each day of the week. And so let us spend that minute just being with the Lord, also preparing ourselves to encounter him in the most Holy Eucharist.